Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we are thrilled to have Aunisha Jones in the studio. Aunisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's just great seeing you. I want you all to know how I know Aunisha. I remember sitting at a dinner table with several other entrepreneurs, and we were just sharing great resources and tips that have helped us in our businesses. And my dear friend Carrie said, "Oh, you have to work with Aunisha. She's amazing. She provides so many different services, including, I think she's a CPA. She provides like accounting services, but she also has this virtual assistant service, which it can make basically a small firm feel as though they have all the resources that they need to accomplish what they have to do." And I was like, wow, tell me more about that. And so basically, she sent me Aunisha's information. She was just amazing, responsive. And I remember being like, okay, when do we start? Because I can't see myself not working with your company. And that's how we met.
Yep, you got it.
So Aunisha, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so I am a CPA. I've been a CPA since 2009. And I started Ace Group back in 2016. I was trying to get out of corporate America and get more flexibility for my children. And I knew I wanted to work with small business owners. And I knew that I wanted to provide a service that would make small business owners look like big companies. And one of those things was to provide virtual assistant services. I thought I'd just be providing virtual assistant services, and I'd be giving other moms these part-time opportunities to provide virtual services to other clients, and I would just supervise it. And then in conversation with potential clients, it would come up that I was a CPA, and they'd have tax questions and accounting questions, and somehow I landed right back into accounting and tax work. But now I work with clients that I love, and I'm helping small business owners, and I have a flexible schedule, and I work with other moms that are like myself. So it's all good.
It's a wonderful ecosystem of you helping others, you supporting other women, other moms who are perhaps trying to find ways that to get back into the workforce that with a flexible schedule, and then helping companies who have different needs.
Exactly.
You know, not just to look big, but also to find a way to economically fulfill some of the needs that they have. And what I love about what you do is that you can be anywhere. You can be anywhere, and Aunisha can help you. And Ace, I want to make sure that you guys know that it's Ace spelled A-S-E.
You got it.
A-S-E group. And I've just been so pleased that even though we've grown substantially, I just can't envision my life without Aunisha. So I'm not going anywhere.
Thank
I'm staying
you.
Right there. And so for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I want to tell you a little bit about the format of our show. Basically, we have a hotline where people call in and they ask questions. And sometimes the questions are, you know, more of I'm having this conflict, what should I do? And sometimes the questions are, I have so many opportunities and options, I can't figure it out. And I really would like some insight from someone who's not so invested in the outcome. You know, I don't want to ask my mom. I don't want to ask my friend. I just want to know what you think. And so what we've done is we match the calls that we receive in our voicemail box with various co-hosts. And basically, it's someone who works in the industry or the field and has a keen insight to what's going on. And we try to use our collective wisdom to provide some, you know, a roadmap, if you will, to provide some options and to just kind of help you navigate the situation. And so what are you waiting for? If you're listening to us now, you should definitely dial into our hotline. We'll provide the number at the end of the show. But in the meantime, how about we play our first message?
Let's go. I'm excited.
All right.
You have one message.
Hi, I'm starting a new business, a small business with very little funds. What would be the first advice you give to somebody who is trying to break into an industry that's somewhat saturated? And also to help protect my images in the work that I do, what advice would you offer? Thank you.
That's a good question, especially for two entrepreneurs who started business. I think we can handle that. What do you think?
Yes, I definitely started, multiple businesses, but I started this business with not a ton of money. I didn't have any investors or anything like that. And I don't think every business requires a lot of money. But if your intent is to set yourself apart, the first thing I would do is grab a pen and paper. I'm a pen and paper girl.
And me too.
Write down what you're going to do different from other providers in the industry. It's not a problem that is saturated. You just have to be able to provide something different. And I would just take some time to figure out what that is so you don't spend time figuring out later when you're really busy how you could start setting yourself apart from those other people.
Absolutely. What is your competitive advantage is another way to think about it, mm-hmm. right? Because even if you look at different options for getting from point A to point B, there are cars, there are buses, there are taxis, there are Ubers, there are Lyfts, there's Juno. So think about it. They all do something similar, but each of them is coming to the market with something that differentiates them from their competitors. So I think that's great advice.
Thank you. And I've done it myself several times, and I can tell you that it will save you a ton of money and some time, too, and time is money. So that's top on my list.
What I would also add to that, Anisha, and I'm happy that you said you started a business with very little funds. To me, one of the things that I thought was key was figuring out how to have a lean startup. And what I mean by that is, what is it that is essential that you need to start your business? So, of course, Carla, we don't know what your business is. We don't know if it's something that requires you to have a big brick and mortar space. We don't have that insight. But thinking about what is it that you need. In my own business, and I have two companies now, but in my first business, I was very stingy, if you will, with my money. I didn't even buy envelopes until I had to mail a letter because I was like, I don't need envelopes. Everyone uses a computer and email and fax. And so literally, I think I didn't have to buy an envelope till maybe a month and a half after having my company because I didn't need it. And the point is that I only bought things that I needed. And that's a good way to conserve the funds that you do have and while trying to figure out how to allocate them to best accomplish your goals.
That is such good advice. I work with so many clients who years ago I might have said, oh, why aren't they just buying this? Why aren't they just doing that? I know they have the funds because I can see your bank account. I am your accountant. and one of the lessons I learned from them was it wasn't having the money. It was conserving and cutting back when necessary. It's not just, oh, I have it. I can spend it. It's do I really need to be spending it? Mm-hmm. Is it really necessary? And there are so many things you'd be surprised that you can do with very little when you're not overspending for the heck of it.
It's so true. A wise man once said to me, Jamali, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep. And
yes.
I was like, that is so true. Where have you been all of my life? How did I not know that before? But the point is that, you know, it sounds like you're not letting the availability of funds hold you back because you're saying, hey, I have a little bit of funds, but I'm trying to start this business. And you really are trying to figure out on top of that how to set yourself apart in an industry that's saturated. And so without having any insight as to what your business is, I think Anisha did give you some really great advice with respect to figuring out what makes you different and unique. What other things come to mind for you, Anisha?
Another place I think I may have wasted money in the beginning was not taking the time, and I know you hear it a bunch of times, I hope this time it sticks, is figuring out what my ideal client really was. Because in the beginning, you just know you need to make a sale, and you'd sell it to an elephant, assuming your business is not targeted to elephants, if they would pay you. And what I found was not every client is your client. Not every dollar is a good dollar. And if you know who it is that you are trying to access and you figure out where they are and you get where they are, you'll get a lot more success that way. So it sounds very cliche. What's your target market? But I really do feel like once you really figure that out, you'll be able to really pinpoint where your clients are and be able to get to them with little to no extra money in advertising spend.
It's so true. People who say that everyone is a potential client, it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone isn't a potential client. And I love that you said figuring out who you're trying to cater to, because I take it a step further. I want to know what they look like. What are their spending habits? How old are they? Where do they shop? What else are they doing?
Yep.
Because that's how I can really customize what I'm doing to meet their needs. And so I think that's a great way to think about it, because that'll save you time and mm-hmm. money and resources, because you're trying to pinpoint a certain segment of the market, and maybe your market is fragmented. And so that's a good way to think about it. Another thing that comes to mind for me is some of the resources that are available for new business owners. I don't know where you're based, caller, but I would encourage you to go to your local kind of small business association, look at your city's website or your state's website for small business development centers, and sort of figure out what's there, because at least in New York City, there's so many wonderful and free resources available for small business owners. And small business is defined differently across various jurisdictions. But here, I think the target isn't about the revenue, it's more about the number of people, right?
Yep.
And so here, there are so many free resources. There are classes on social media marketing. Here, there are classes at the Small Business Development Center for starting a lean startup, Small Business Finance 101 and 102. There's so many resources. So wherever you're based, just take a few moments to look at your Small Business Association website and see what's near you and what you can take advantage of.
I agree. I'm in New Jersey, not far, just across the water. And in that first year, although I ended up not using the service immediately, I connected with workforce development in New Jersey. And when I was first thinking, oh, I need to hire some employees, I reached out to them and they told me about a ton of programs, where they would pay 50% of the employee's salary if I hired someone that was exiting a workforce program. They would supplement my training budget. There are just so many things available. Google is your friend. And you'd be surprised who people know and who they can put you in touch with. So the more you express, hey, this is what I'm doing, I'm starting this business, and you know, these are my goals, you'd be surprised what advice your friends and your family can have to offer you.
I'm so happy you said that, because I feel like so many people have ideas, but they're afraid to share them for fear of ridicule or fear that someone's going to steal their ideas. And so I want to say this to you. First, everyone can't carry out your idea. Everyone may not be uniquely situated to do that. And so just by you sharing it, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be like, oh, I can be the best popcorn maker. I mean, maybe I know how to make popcorn, but maybe I don't have your passion for popcorn. I mean, look at how many, you know, since we're talking about food, clearly I must be hungry. since we're talking about food, look at how many different types of ice cream are on the shelves. And everyone has their own niche.
Yep.
So think about like what makes you, as Anisha said from the beginning, what makes what you do special? What makes you different? What is your competitive advantage? Because even if everyone was making ice cream, maybe there's something about the ice cream that you make that puts you in a different category. And so just thinking about that and thinking about sort of what it is you're trying to impact, what are you passionate about? I'll then say, once you share an idea with someone, you should figure out whether it's an idea or an opportunity. And to me, an idea is like, you know, it's things that you think of that sound great. Opportunities are things that you can generate revenue from. And so to me, that's kind of the distinction between an idea and an opportunity. And if you share them with others, as Anisha said, you just don't know who can help you. There's so many different resources that are available, but also you don't know what a person's past life was. Maybe they used to work in a space where you're trying to break into. Maybe they know someone who's already in that industry who can help you from a strategic or investing standpoint. There's just so many options. But one thing's for sure, if you don't tell anyone what you're doing, it's going to take you a lot longer to accomplish your goals. I assure you of that.
Yep.
And you may want to test the idea and refine it. What if you start with something and you're not sure? The only way to kind of get feedback is to put it out there into the universe.
That is so true. That is so, so true. That's how I started this business, by just putting the idea out. This is also probably going to sound crazy, but I had my first virtual assistant client before I signed the lease for the office.
Wow.
Because I just started telling people about it. And I actually met her buying furniture for the office. that I didn't have yet. That I was just putting out in the atmosphere, and I was expressing to her. I had my 2-month-old baby on my hip, and I said I was starting this business. I was really excited for it. And she said, oh, okay, give me your information. I have a small business. And we ended up connecting a few months later, and she's, you know, still one of my best clients. But I just kind of told her and put it out there to see if there was any interest before I signed the lease for the office. I just wanted to see if people would gain any interest in what I was doing. So I just kind of put it out there, and I have changed our service offering so many times. But I feel like if you never put it out there and let the people tell you, your potential clients tell you what it is they're looking for, you just never know. And the more lean you start the business, the easier it is to switch gears and modify, because you don't have a ton of money wrapped up in one set idea. So it's another kind of like push for keeping things lean for your business.
Absolutely. And I like that you said that you were hopeful, you put it out there, you were buying furniture before you even had a space for the furniture. I mean, I love like how you can manifest good things, and, and you just kind of say it's going to happen. And guess what? It happened. The last question that you had, caller, was how to protect your images in the work that you do. And so not without having more insight into what you do, it sounds like you're asking a question about, you know, kind of copyright protection.
Yep.
And there are many ways to do that. I'll put kind of my legal hat on for a second to say that, you know, the U.S. Copyright Office has an official process depending on what it is that you're looking to do. You could take a look at the website, and then it's a very user-friendly website. You can take a look at it, and you can pick the category that pertains to you and then kind of read it. If you need more advice, definitely consult with an attorney who can help you, who you can kind of say, this is what I have, this is what I want to do, how do I do that? There are some common law protections that attach to what you're doing from the beginning once it's what's called published or fixed in or put into a fixed medium. So basically, if you write something on a sheet of paper, then it's on a fixed medium. It's no longer an idea floating in your head, but it's in a fixed medium. If you email yourself, and there's some people who say back in the day, the way that you could kind of prove a copyright was to write something, put it in the regular mail, snail mail, and send it to yourself. So then you have a date stamp on it. These days with social media and email and kind of this instantaneous approach, I think it's also fine to, again, put it down, put it in an email, do something like that to show there is a date. And then figure out if you want to get additional protection through like a federally registered copyright, which you can do, again, with the U.S. Copyrights Office and in communication with a legal advisor. And so, yeah, I think that kind of covers the questions that this caller had. Is there anything you want to add? No pressure.
No, I wish I knew more about your idea, your business, so I could give you more specific advice. But I really think if you take what Damali and I have shared, you'll be off to a really good start. Congratulations on your idea.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Absolutely. I mean, this is like a good way. You're already asking, you know, calling into our hotline, you're asking people who have done it. And so that's a great way to kind of think about this as you're on your path. Continue to seek collective advice from people who've been there. I have personally done that so many occasions. One, to avoid, you know, making mistakes that I don't have to make. You don't really have to reinvent the wheel. And so I always call people and ask questions, even if they're in different industries, because they're just some things that are common denominators for entrepreneurs, regardless of the type of business that you have. It doesn't matter if you're in a product, you know, you have a product or a service, if you're business to consumer or business to business, we all may need a phone, right? And so calling and saying, what phone service do you use is something that's helpful, instead of me having to do a Google search and try to figure out what's the best, like, I don't know, what is it, TCOP or TCIP, who knows? I use Vonage. I love Vonage. But that being said, thank you for leaving those lasting words and wishing our caller good luck. Best of luck to you. Continue to call back. We love to get feedback from our audience. We also love to hear how some of you are using these tips and tools that we're providing. What do you think about playing the next message?
Let's go.
All right.
You have one message.
Hi, Damali. This is Christina. I'm going to start up a business soon. I have come to the decision to start it with a partner, as it would be great help financially and in other aspects as well.
I have a family member who's interested, and on the other hand, I have a very close friend who's also very interested and just support me for a long time. I need to just choose one, and I don't know what I should do without hurting the other one. How do I make a wise choice? Because they both are established people, and I don't want to hurt either one of them. What quality should I consider to make this choice? Thank you so much.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if there's a right answer for this one. What do you think, Alnisha?
Well, I own a single member LLC, meaning I am the only owner, but plenty of my clients are in partnerships. And what I will say is business and family slash friends, they don't always belong together. And I hope you don't take that the wrong way. I'll explain why I think that. Business gets tough and things get tight and it can be really strenuous on a relationship. So I would not base it solely on who you have a closer relationship with. I really would be looking towards what qualities do you need in a partner? What do you lack? Look into what you're really strong in and what your family and your friend are really good in and where they could make the business better. Because when things get tough, and things will get tough, you want to make sure you have somebody who is going to complement what it is that you have to offer the business. And I think as long as you're really straightforward with both of them and let them know that this is nothing personal, I don't think either of them would be offended, especially if these are two people that, you know, love and adore you and want to see you succeed. And if all else fails, ask one of them to, you know, invest.
Absolutely. I mean, that's excellent advice. A part of what you said, Christina, is that you want some help financially. And some great advice that someone told me a few months ago was never take money from people that if you lose their money, you wouldn't be able to sit at the Thanksgiving dinner table with them. Mm-hmm. And I think what that means in a nutshell is, you know, as Anisha said, there are a lot of unpredictable things that happen in business, and you don't want to be in a situation where you potentially lose that relationship, whether it's a friend or a family member. And so you want to, if it's something that you value and a person that you value, you want to insulate that relationship and then figure out if it makes sense to start a new relationship, because a business relationship is totally different than a personal relationship. And sometimes they don't mix. Sometimes it's hard to have both. I think if you're thinking about someone who's going to be a financial, who's going to provide some investment, I mean, usually that first round is called friends and family for a reason. And that's because if you are a pre-revenue company and you don't have anything to show yet, aside from a great idea and passion, it's usually your friends and family who support you initially. Sometimes you have to have more proof of concept and be a little further along in the process to attract investment from, you know, angel investors, VCs, et cetera. And so there's a reason that it's called friends and family, and that's because they believe in you and want to help you. Query whether you want to borrow money from the person who, you know, may have just enough for their family, but they're kind of using it on you. And then you are, you know, again, if you lose that money, which I'm not saying that you will, but if you do, can you sit at the dinner table with them going forward? So, you know, it sounds like you're saying that there's also this relationship with a close friend who supported you for a long time and a family member who it sounds like is also a supporter, and that what you're sensitive to is basically you can only take on one partner and you want to let someone else down easily and you don't want to hurt them. And so what comes to mind for me is if the person is sincerely interested in helping you and being involved, then you should think creatively about different ways to engage them and keep them involved in the company. It doesn't have to be in an official partner capacity. I work with a lot of companies who are startups, who have what's known as an advisory board. And maybe this person is a strategic partner who can help you think about ideas, who can help you, who can be a sounding board, or who can connect you with people or companies who can provide capital to you. And so I think you can find perhaps other ways to keep the person engaged, even if it's not in an official partnership capacity. What do you think, Anisha?
That is such a great idea. As I mentioned before, it's just me owning my company, but I have a really big family. And my dad works with me and my sister works with me. They're both employees of my company. We could never be partners, but they could definitely be part of the team. My mom could definitely probably not take on this as a full-time thing, but she could certainly act as my advisory board. She does act as my advisory board. And it works out perfect for us. Although it's not the same as you, she does not want to own part of the company. She takes really a large amount of pride in being able to assist by providing advice and, you know, being independent. And we're asking her how things should work or what do you think about this idea. She loves to give her insight. So I do not think you go wrong by offering an advisory board position to your friend or your family. I also don't think you go wrong if you told them, hey, I have this dilemma and I think you're both great. And, you know, I don't know which of you to add, and ask their insight. Again, I think your benefit is that these people both care about you and they want to see your business idea succeed. And I think that would let them put their pride aside and really offer you their honest opinions about whether they have the time available to help you, if they have funds available to help you. You'd be surprised what you get from them if you just told them exactly how you're feeling.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think to add to that, one of the questions that you had too was, what qualities should you consider when making the choice as to who to bring on and who to, you know, sensitively pass on? And I like that you said that there are many ways to get involved. I like that you also said that there some people may want to be involved now or later. And that's always an option, because you don't have to say no, full stop. You can say, you know, at this time I can only take on one partner and I'm going to go with this person for this reason. And I hope that I can still keep you engaged by serving in an advisory board capacity or helping me with this part of the business, which is equally as important. I think you have an amazing problem to have. Some people don't have folks that they can count on. You have a great family, Alnisha, where you have, you know, your father, your sister, and, you know, your mom serving in some capacity. There are some people who only have themselves and, you know, they're trying to figure out where to make their next connection. And so, one, Christina, you should think about the fact that this is a great problem to have.
Yes.
Two, think outside of the box about different ways that you can keep both people engaged and on your journey. And, you know, there are many ways to do that, both informally and formally. And then three, think about what your goals are for your company. Alnisha mentioned that she has a sole member LLC, which means that she is a owner of the company. Someone said to me recently, you know, figure out if you want to own 100% of a $1 million company or 60% of a $1 billion company. And yeah. I was like, I'll take the second option, please. And the point that I want to make there is, you're already considering bringing on a partner. It's not clear to us whether you mean an equity partner or not. It's not clear to us whether you mean you're going to kind of share the ownership or share the responsibilities, whether you're taking on equity or debt. There are so many unknowns. Based on the tenor of your question, what really resonates with me is that you are concerned about not hurting someone's feelings, which is such a wonderful place to come from, is because you recognize that folks want to help you and that you want to be sensitive in the way that you respond to kind of this abundance of riches here, because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And so I really like hearing that you're thinking about them as you're kind of contemplating the bigger picture for your company.
And while you think through that, just make sure that once you make your decision, if I could offer like a tiny bit of advice, don't skip over your partnership agreement. I see so many clients come in and they're really excited when they start the business with a spouse, a family member, a friend, and sometimes things go a little bit left, and they don't have some sort of agreement in place. So you just want to make sure that, you know, your heart is in this, your money will be in this. Just make sure that things are as clear as possible in the partnership agreement. In the event that for any reason you decide to add additional partners or perhaps go down to just you owning the business.
Absolutely. And, you know, in addition to kind of being a playbook or a roadmap for things that arise during the course of the partnership, it's also a good guide.
Yes.
So for things from as basic to how do we divide, monies, revenue that comes in, how do we think about As Anisha mentioned, adding new partners. How do we divide responsibilities? Mm-hmm. A lot of what I see from folks who are going through a reorganization process, if you will, is that someone feels that they're handling a lion's share of the work but not being compensated, or maybe things have changed. Maybe the company was started 2 years ago and one person isn't as involved as before, and it's time to think about restructuring the organization. And so having that agreement as a starting point is really key. I know that I always ask people, do you have a partnership agreement? If they say no, I'm like, well, how can we how can we put one in place? Or what, how have you been operating? Meaning, like, what has become the norm? And we can, you know, and do you like that? If you do, we can start from there. And if you don't like that, what would you like to change? And we can try to put that in writing. But having something in writing that can kind of be your guide is key.
Yes.
Super key. This has been phenomenal. I want to thank the audience for tuning in and also thank the callers for those really great questions. Anisha, I'd like to thank you for joining me in the studio today.
Thank you. This was amazing.
You
were
amazing.
I really enjoyed this. Oh, thank you. I learned from you.
Well, that's what I like about this format is that, as we were discussing earlier, there are so many questions that are recurring that I feel like this collective wisdom that we provide can help so many people. And I love this format because, you know, maybe by the time the person who asked the question hears the podcast, it's no longer an active question or concern for them. But other people could be pondering the same thing and we can help those people. And that's what really speaks to me about this podcast. And that's what makes it such an honor for me to sit next to you to try to help many people.
It's been a pleasure. Callers, best of luck. Thank you for your really great questions.
Awesome. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.